So this morning, Palm Sunday, if you read the ads in the Eagle, some churches are honoring this day, this week, by reading the whole kind of Holy Week story, which the lectionary invites us to do, which would be starting with the Palm Sunday story and then reading the scenes as they go forward. There's like 7 or 8 of them that take you to Good Friday. But what I thought I would like to do is to dive deeply into this initial story and enter into the whole week, in a sense, by just looking at this story. And I wanted to do that not by preaching up there, but by having a conversation with all of us, kind of creating the sermon together. Maybe I'll stand over here so I can see the choir too. So that puts you all on the spot. And we've got a couple of microphones, because what I want to start out is by entering this story, as I said, more deeply. So what stands out to you? It's a very visual story, and we kind of help make it more visual by our procession. What stands out visually? You know, what are the visuals of this Palm Sunday story? And you can just call out words or phrases.
The crowd.
The crowd.
Probably.
Palm leaves.
Celebration.
Colors. Colors, yeah.
Excitement.
People screaming and cheering.
Activity. What's that, Gordon?
People screaming and cheering,
yep.
It does make me think of what's to come, the contrast.
Ah, yes, well, we're not there yet. Just stay with the
I know.
Yep, that's where we're going. But right now we have the palms, and remember the colorful blankets strewing his way, the energy, the excitement. And those few verses really do give you a sense of a parade, right? A celebration, something joyful. So why is Jesus doing this? Where did he get the idea of coming to Jerusalem on a parade? You kind of have to read the other stories and the other Gospels, but you remember there was something about Hosanna in there. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's from Psalm 118, one of the Psalms, the 5 Psalms that are sung during Passover. As I told the children, Hosanna, God help us, God save us. This plea, God help us, and this joy, God did help us. Hosanna. And so there's energy both of the oppression of the present, but the help in the past, help in the future, all that wrapped up in those psalms. And scholars, you know, aren't sure whether people singing that to Jesus, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of our King David, whether they thought of Jesus as the one who was coming or as the forerunner of the one coming, like Elijah, which we'll talk about at the Seder later, that Elijah was supposed to come first into Jerusalem to set the way for the new age of peace and freedom and wholeness. And then there's another passage from Zechariah, one of those little prophets that's a few pages before the Gospel of Matthew, written a few hundred years before the birth of Jesus, where Zechariah has this vision in a very difficult time that God will come in a very personal way, humble and riding on a colt, and will bring a kingdom of peace. This king, because if you go all the way back to the Passover, there's this titanic struggle between Moses and Pharaoh, and there's these plagues that get tossed. And, you know, there's a lot of power and violence and death. But when Zechariah comes along, he's imagining something different, that this new kingdom will come quietly, humbly, in peace. And so that's the symbolism of the colt. And so here's Jesus riding a donkey, a colt, into town at the head of a parade, peaceful, gently, humbly, as it said. So that's some of the symbolism there. But then I want us to step back for a moment and realize something I hadn't realized till a few years ago when I was reading one of my scholarly things, that in all likelihood, on that same day or within a day or so of when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, there would have been another parade. Pontius Pilate, the governor of Jerusalem, that area, would have ridden into Jerusalem at the head of a great military parade, a legion of soldiers, Roman soldiers, coming to Jerusalem on Passover. Why do you think they might be doing that? Why would they need a legion of soldiers in Jerusalem during Passover?
To control the crowds.
Crowd control. Yeah. Because pilgrims, Jewish pilgrims from all over the Middle East, far, far afield, would come to Jerusalem, and the Passover is a celebration of freedom. The Jewish people are not feeling free from Rome. Rome isn't a hideous empire in some ways, and yet it is a hideous empire in other ways. They feel enslaved. And so you get everybody together celebrating freedom, things can get out of hand. And so Pilate comes with a legion of soldiers. So what do you think that parade, what would be the visuals for that parade? What would that look like?
Costumes, weapons.
Weapons, loud, costumes.
Like North Vietnam.
What's that?
Like North Vietnam.
Like North Vietnam, yeah. You know, big war horses, probably hundreds of them.
Militaristic,
imperial, you know, you'd have all the symbols, the great big shields, and, you know, yeah, John.
Intimidation.
That's what empires do, right? They want to control people, tamp them down, bend them over again, like the ancient Jewish people being enslaved, but making it very clear, if you make a fuss, we'll take care of you really quick. So do you think there was much joy in that parade?
Lots of fear.
Yeah. But do you think people might have been cheering, putting on a good facade? What's that? Oh, yeah, Joey. Will, can you put the microphone? I couldn't hear that.
The wealthy people were probably feeling very good about it because they know that their stuff to be protected by the soldiers coming in, so it's kind of like a half-and-half thing. But the power of the people just believing in the disciples when they're sent to pick up the pony, just let them walk away with that pony was proof that the power of the Lord was there.
Yes.
So you got it.
So the wealthy people would be very happy because here's the ones to enforce things. Yeah, John.
Or the not very wealthy that
like
to follow along.
Or the not very wealthy like to follow along. Yep. And there's probably some guards standing there with spears kind of poking people in the back saying, yeah, let's be a little bit more festive here, folks. You know, there's different ways of controlling, right? And so just sit with that for a moment. These two parades. You know, and we live 2,000 years later, so that other parade, we haven't experienced we have some proposals for military parades in our country, but we haven't done that. But the early listeners to this gospel, that would have been very present in their minds. They knew all about military parades, crowd control, coming into town, and then this parade with Jesus. The two parades. And then there's a third component to this, because both parades are heading into Jerusalem, and all the pilgrims are all the people of Jerusalem. And so then the question comes, which parade are you going to attend? Which parade is going to get into your heart? The military, imperial parade. And if it was going to get into your heart, what would be a word to describe what gets into you from that parade? Would it be the word fear? That's the word that came to my mind. You know, this imperial thing of it's there to control people, so we should, you know, so there's scary people that they need to control. We better be afraid of all of them. But then there's the fear that comes with the actual empire. I shouldn't make Pontius Pilate mad or I'll be in big trouble. So that parade is all about fear. The world is a scary, frightening, terrible place. We need to control, dominate. And then there's Jesus' parade. What would be a word or phrase that goes with Jesus' parade?
Humility. Try and only think of what went on yesterday with our young people.
Oh, you're right there. What? You're one step ahead of me, Judy. Let me just get. What was it? Joy. Yeah. Yeah. So there's fear on one side. There's humility. And if you think about humility, Not humility in the sense of somebody being humiliated, but humility about being just comfortable in your own skin, just calm and just looking at the world. It's not hard to go from humility to joy, to peace, or to love. I think of the two parades in terms of fear and love. And the children marching around the sanctuary is just a good image to me of what that kind of energy of love would look like in the world, just that buoyancy. And the other parade, buoyancy would not be a word that would come to mind.
But, you know, every parade, there's pageant, and there's color and excitement. So even the military parade would have had people who came to see that.
Yes, yes, reason. Yes. That's good. Yeah, one of the things that I was reading was making the point of, you know, in sermons, it's very helpful to have two very good contrasting things that kind of get you, you know, the dualism, if you will. But one of the things is that Rome was an empire, and empires are a problem. But then Rome wasn't all bad. Rome, there's lots of really good things that came from Rome, including philosophers and governmental principles and ideas, in addition to all the bad stuff. And so the scholar was pointing out, you know, you probably have to use those dualisms, love and fear, but don't make them absolute. You know, so I think that, I don't know if that's where you were going, Mary, but that...
the parade is something that people watch and are excited about.
Yes. Yes. And there were things to be grateful for to Rome, like the Roman roads, if nothing else, and people could travel, and Paul made use of those roads, and the empire was really how the Christian faith could spread. So that sort of gets to the next step where Judy's headed, because life is complicated. Things aren't black and white. You know, if everybody had a name tag on of, I represent love, or I represent fear, well, now I know who my friends are, it wouldn't be very pleasant, but it would be very clear. But life isn't that clear. There's lots of parades. And what's getting stirred up in me? Could it be both love and fear? Which certainly is in our gospel story. There's fear there as well from the disciples. What are we getting ourselves into? What is this Jesus, what's Jesus talking about suffering? That sounds scary. So there's all of that. In this story, you dive deeply into the story, there's all of that, and then the question immediately comes, well, do we have such parades today? Like right now? Judy, what do you want to say about that?
I don't think yesterday was a parade. I think it was for the Holy Spirit.
Good. Take a mic. Yeah, mic. And Judy, can you just say a little bit more, what happened yesterday? I mean, I think everybody probably knows, but just in your words.
It gave me great hope. I think of the things that the young people said, and particularly one young man who said that love is the way, not violence. Mm-hmm. I think that what happened yesterday was really, it was so nonpartisan. It was all of us calling, all of us, by our young people to remind us. I kept thinking as you were talking of the significance of this coming so close to Holy Week. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was so aware of the Holy Spirit, so aware, and thinking about what is going to happen this week. Mm. And that's how much on Sunday the Holy Spirit comes to be with us.
Mm. Thank you. Well, when I started thinking about this image of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, humble, riding on the back of a colt, responding to the violence of his world with vulnerability, with openness, with honesty, with directness, confronting the powers that be, saying, no, this is not the way to run Israel. This is not the way to run an empire. And yet doing it with humility and vulnerability and openness, and then seeing those teenagers' faces was very powerful. And it felt like this was a very good contemporary image for what the Palm Sunday procession was. And the thing to remember from the original Palm Sunday, Jesus is doing all this precisely because of the tragedies of that time and the pain and the enslavement and the suffering. And they were there yesterday in, it wasn't a parade, but there certainly was a lot of cheering, a lot of energy, a lot of buoyancy, but it was grounded in multiple what you could call crucifixions of children being slaughtered in these schools. And the kids saying, enough is enough. Which is really what Jesus is saying when he's marching into Jerusalem. Enough is enough. And there's a vulnerability to it in terms of, well, Jesus, do you really think it's going to work? Can you really confront power this way? Which is a question from yesterday. Will it make a difference? Will the entrenched powers? On Friday, the president signed a $1.3 trillion budget for the United States of America, which does many good things, but it also represents the largest military budget in the world by far, which isn't all bad, but it's huge. So it's, you can't say America is not an empire in some way. It's certainly not all bad, but $1.3 trillion over here represents one thing, with a lot of fear in many ways, you know? And over here, you have all the students representing something different. And it just seemed very apropos of Palm Sunday, of Holy Week, of this time. And you have to kind of work it through. You can't make me black and white, but there's lots of messages. So what do you all think of that connection? Or are there other connections that you make? And do you think it'll work? Do you think change will come? Who's? Mary, here, yes.
Well, I think Jesus and the students have both courage and integrity. Mm. And those two things, they have the courage to live out what they really believe, and that's integrity. And I think that provides great hope for the future. It was 1993 that Martin Luther King had the parade that really changed. Well, actually, there were many parades before that in Selma and many other places in the South, but that has changed our country. It's not where we need to be yet, but that courage and that integrity and that vision is just amazing.
So one thing you just said, Mary, in terms of, we can easily think of Palm Sunday as an event from long ago, happened once, which is true, it did. But from the scriptural standpoint, the parades, the two parades, have been happening again and again and again and again, all through history, in all their different forms. And Martin Luther King, the March on Washington, Selma, those are ones where it kind of breaks the surface and it kind of, you see the integrity. You know, and some of the parades have been more confused and mixed over time, but they've been happening again and again because this question keeps coming to us from God. Which parade are you going to join? That's what's coming. That's what the Jerusalem, they're both Jesus and Pontius Pilate are both coming into Jerusalem, and the people of Jerusalem have to answer the question, who are we going to listen to, Jesus or Pontius Pilate? And in the short run, we kind of know the answer, right? Who gets crucified on Friday? It's not Pontius Pilate. And yet that's not the end of the story. There's this other energy, this Hosanna, that keeps coming. Jesus is raised from the dead because the question is not ended. The question, and so the parade comes again. Jesus comes again. And so this morning, could it be that that parade is marching right into your heart? And could you do some reflecting this week about how do I let myself be guided by fear? Is that what I want for my life? How do I let myself be guided by love? How could I increase that in my life? What would love look like? Integrity, honesty, humility, joy. What does fear look like? How did I get in this parade? How did that happen? Which is what people in Jerusalem... How is it that we killed Jesus? I thought he was kind of a good guy. What did we do? But that's what human beings so often fall into. We don't even, you know, Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. We fall into that. And so we have to be people of we have to wake up. That's what this story is about. That's what Holy Week is about. How do I let myself get sucked into the parade of fear? How can I lean into the parade of love? And then there's the forgiveness, because we, being human, are likely to fall short again and again. And yet the question keeps coming. Will you follow Jesus? Will you walk with Jesus? Will you today? Will we? Will our country? What will happen? It's an open question. It's a good question to ask on Palm Sunday. Amen.